And this, we just finished off our month of April, and we were talking about forgiveness and how forgiveness is such an important aspect for us as Christians to not only receive but also extend to people around us. And when we started this year, we actually started with a theme, vision focused, and we just walked through all the way up until May. And for this month of May, what we're going to be focusing on as our theme, overall overarching theme, is going to be on outreach and reaching out and being the light and the salt to people around us. Having a vision for reaching the lost for the kingdom is what we're going to be talking about. And one of the things that I love about being a Christian is that I know that I have a purpose and I have a task that Jesus has given me personally. And I know also that you, if you call yourself a Christian, you also, if you don't know, you have a task and you have a job that you are to do and carry out. And that job has been given to us in the scriptures, and I'm gonna just go over that a little bit as an intro this morning. And Jesus said this when he was resurrected from the dead, and then he was there hanging out with people, with his disciples. He said this in Matthew 28. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And then that was the job that was given to us, and that's the job that we all have as Christians. And then later on, just before he ascended to heaven, Jesus said, first of all, he was talking about how it was good for him to leave, because if he doesn't leave, then the Holy Spirit will not come. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is going to come. And he told the disciples, go and pray that the Holy Spirit will come. And once the Holy Spirit comes, in Acts 1:8, this is what he says. And once the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive the power, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So you and I have a job, and then we have also the empowerment for that job as well that's been given to us. You may be sitting here this morning and thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to be a witness for the kingdom to my friends, to my family, to my coworkers. I don't know how I'm going to do this thing. But I'm here to tell you that when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church and disciples at that time when they prayed so many years ago, that same Holy Spirit that gave power to the disciples so long ago is right here, right now with us as well as believers, and is giving us power as well to finish the work and do the work that God is calling us to do. And that's why the month of May, our theme is going to be Reach One. What we usually do as Christians, we overwhelm ourselves. And we think, well, how am I going to reach everybody? And how am I going to go out? And there's so many people that I know. And how am I going to put all this together? I have a plan and a strategy. I've got people in my work. I've got my family members that are not saved. I've got people upon people that I can reach. But we want to encourage you for the month of May to just intentionally reach one person. Just one person with the message of hope, with the message of Jesus. And this is the big idea. We may not reach everyone, but everyone can reach someone. You might have heard that before. I may not reach everybody in my lifetime, and you may not reach everybody in your lifetime, but you can reach one person in your life that you know and you have. And this whole thing about how God cares about every single person on this planet is something that we have to be reminded of as Christians. And God in his heart beats for everybody, and that means that his heart means for the one. One person that you might have written off, one person that you may think it would be impossible to reach them, one person that you can be a light and salt to. You know, I have lost many things in my life. I don't know if you have lost something in your life. I have a tendency to lose my wallet many times. Yeah. Recently, my wife got me this little thing that's actually hooked to my keys, so I can't lose the wallet. But I lose my keys too. Multiple times over. Until I got my AirTag on the keys. Apple, whatever you call that, tracking thing. So now I know my keys are at all times too. I have lost my wedding ring 3 times. This is my 3rd wedding ring. For all the wonderful people in the room that like to lose things. Not to be proud that, you know, I lose things. But we all lose things all the time. And I'm sure you've lost many things in your life. You know, I've never lost anything that was really valuable, as in, well, everything is valuable, but like I can be proud to say that I've never lost one of my children when we were on a vacation or a mall and stuff like that. That's really good. But I do know people that have lost their kids at busy malls and busy airports, and I know what kind of trouble that can bring to a parent when they lose their child. When I was a kid, I had a dog, and I was the one who was responsible. Sole responsibility was to take care of this dog. And, you know, back home, we keep the dogs outside of the house, so I always have to go check on the dog and take care of the dog and love on the dog. So for years, we had this dog that was like my favorite creature. His name was Bobby. And I remember one day... It's a good name. I named him. Anyway, one day we took Bobby to... We were like, okay, we're not going to leave him at home. We used to bring him to our cousin's place. So I brought Bobby to our cousin's place, and we were just hanging out all day playing around. I completely forgot about my dog. By the end of the day, I realized that my dog was gone missing. And I'll tell you, it was about 2.5 days of pure devastation and heartache of me trying to find my dog, Bobby. I told all my family members, all the cousins, and everybody that I knew, you have to help me find my dog. I need to find my dog. It's my favorite. He was my favorite person at that time, living creature, because I was hanging out a lot with the dog. Anyhow, long story short, it was about 2.5 days. It was really tough for the first few days. But then all of a sudden, I woke up one day, and it was like mid-afternoon. I remember just walking out of my house and seeing Bobby just sitting there and just wiggling his. And I was like, whoa. Found his way home. I don't know how. Just ended up being at home. And ever since then, I was thinking to myself, I got to be careful next time. Ever since then, I've never lost Bobby again. And that was really good. But we all lose things in our life. And what would happen... If you were a parent, let's say, I don't know if you're a parent and you have a child. If you were a parent, imagine you're not a parent. You just have something precious, really precious, and you lose that something really precious. If you're a parent, you have your child wander away in a crowd. Would you ever say, oh, well, I have 2 more kids. You know, I don't think anybody in their right mind would ever say such thing. Even if you had 12 kids, big families. You see, God's heart is laser focused on the one who is missing. And that's what God's heart is about. That's what Jesus' heart was all about. And that's what our heart should also be all about. The story of David in the Old Testament, when he was called out to be the king, one of the things that God said about David was this is a guy that's after my own heart. And one of the things about David that you knew about is that he was a shepherd. What heart he had for his sheep was incredible. He fought off a lion and a bear, and he did everything to protect his sheep. You see, we have this idea about evangelism, which is reaching out to our people and our friends and our same friends. We have this idea that we need to have some special strategy, and we got to reach them somehow. Something special has to happen. But evangelism does not start with strategies. It starts with understanding how deeply God cares for every lost soul. God truly, honestly cares for every single lost soul. And we see a story in Luke 15. Actually, there's three stories about things being lost. And it's a really good chapter to kind of be reminded of how important it is for God when something is lost and then is found. See, Jesus is hanging out with sinners and prostitutes and all kinds of people, and he's actually having a meal with them. And let's just read together Luke 15, 1 through 7. This is what he says. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "One man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." And there's another story about the parable of the lost coin and the parable of the lost son, which is more famous story about being lost and being found. But Jesus, who was the Son of God, he came to this planet Earth, and we see this in the very beginning. He came to save people from their sins. He came to save you and me from our sins. And he came to save us from the penalty of the judgment that we were all facing, which is eternal death and eternal punishment and separation from God. He came to restore our relationship with the Father so that we can be in this loving relationship with him. And he came to forgive us our sin, our shame, and all the things that we can carry as humans in our heart. So in this story, what Jesus is talking about here, about that one lost sheep, he's talking about a sheep that was lost. And what it actually means to be lost is this. It means to be living a life apart from God, God's plan and God's purpose. And what we see happening here in this story is we see the shepherd going out and searching for what has been lost, the good shepherd. See, Jesus was hanging out with sinners, and this is what sparked this whole conversation, is he was out dining and having meals with people that in the society, everybody would say, "You don't hang out with these people. You don't go talk to them. You stay away from them because they will take you down the wrong path." Jesus was hanging out with them. He was drawing them out, and the Pharisees were jealous, and they were saying, "Who is this guy receiving sinners and dining with them?" There was something different about Jesus. Jesus loved them. Jesus cared about them. And he saw past their sin and past their shame and what they were involved with, and he had this deep love for each one of them. In his eyes, they were the lost sheep that needed to be found. In his eyes, they were the people they needed the love the most and the care the most. In his eyes, they were the ones that did not need approval or judgment of what they were involved with, but they needed to just feel genuine love and care of the Father. There's people in our lives that we are surrounded with that this we can call them sinners in these terms, who are far away from God, who are walking the path, they're living selfish lives, they're living one day to another just for themselves, and they know nothing better, and they just keep going from brokenness to brokenness, from just confusion to confusion, from one relationship to another, just being broken and searching for meaning. And I'm here to tell you that those people are the people that Jesus died for and came for. And you, as someone who is there, who knows those people, are the person that God has put in their way for a purpose and a reason as well. God continuously pursues. You see, God relentlessly pursues, and he even to the point, he leaves the 99 to go and chase that one that is lost. You see, God's love is not passive. It's not just sitting there, oh, let them just wander off. Let them just do their thing. Let them just be whatever they're up to. I don't want to have any business with them. He actively pursues the one that has been lost. He actively seeks the one that has been lost. That means for us today, we're going to apply this to our own life. We don't have to wait, or we shouldn't wait for lost people to come to us and to wander in into the things that we're involved with and things that we're doing at church. We are the ones that should go after them. A firefighter does not wait for people to find the exit. When the building is on fire and the house is on fire, if you've ever seen anything like that in real life or news, you know, what firefighter does, he or she rushes into the danger to bring, even if it's just one person, to save that one person from perishing in that fire. And that is the crazy love and the crazy intentionality that God has for every single person. And the shepherd has for every single sheep. You see, His reaction to this whole picture, shepherd's reaction, somebody would say is a crazy decision. Why would you in your right mind leave the 99 sheep and go just after the one? Should you just leave him and forget about them? You got 99 to take care of still? No, Jesus is trying to illustrate a point here that the shepherd doesn't just stay passive and it's just living in their comfort and this, okay, that's fine. We won't worry about them. But they actually go to seek this sheep, go to try to find this sheep because they know that this sheep has been lost and it needs to be found. The shepherd knows that this sheep is not even in their right mind. They don't even know what they're doing. And he has to go out and find this lost sheep. He doesn't come to the sheep when he finds the sheep and says, or he doesn't tell the other people around him or sheep or whoever he's talking to saying, oh, they're just lost. They should know better. Oh, they're just acting idiotic. They're just morons. Just leave them. I can't believe that he or she would do that. Shepherd doesn't speak like that. Shepherd's first reaction is to leave the 99 and go after the one. Just like that song that we sang this morning, Reckless Love of God. That's in that sense, and on the paper, you can say that is reckless to leave the 99. And I know there was some controversy around this song, Reckless Love of God. That's God's love is not reckless. You can't sing that. You can't say that in church. Well, in that sense, where you leave the 99 healthy ones that don't need any care but go after the one, your love, God's love is reckless. Because he knows that the 99 will be just fine, and he knows that the lost one is actually the one that needs care, genuine care and genuine love. In shepherd's eyes, every person matters. Every sheep matters, even the black sheep. You see, each individual and each soul has an infinite value to God. Your soul matters to God. Your life matters to God. Your future matters to God. And maybe one day, at one time, you were also lost and confused and without purpose. But then you decided to put your faith and trust in Christ, and now all of a sudden you have this new purpose, you have this new life, and you know that after we even leave this earth, that's not the end. You know that there's an eternity of blessing that awaits us. You see, Jesus could have talked about the flock or a whole group, but what he did is he zoomed in on that one sheep that was lost. And what we need to do more of is we need to stop thinking and talking about, we have to fight against this crowd thinking, and we need to look at every single individual that God has put in our life as God sees them. That's what we need to do. You know, thinking about a diamond, a jewel, you have a person that works with the diamonds, and they got all these diamonds. In order for them to actually, they don't just work on them all in groups. They have to take each diamond and polish them to be actually what it's supposed to be. Every single diamond matters. Every single soul in God's eyes is a diamond like that, and they matter. Every single person in this room and outside of this room. See, this is a story that we have. This is the story that we have to share, the purpose that we have to share. Because people out there that you know and people that you love, even maybe, they have no purpose. Some of them have no, they're just confused, wandering around from one thing to another. But you have the good news to share. You see, no one is too far gone. The sheep was not just slightly off track, it was completely lost. And Jesus didn't come alongside and scold the sheep. He actually joyfully came to the sheep and carried it home with joy in this story. You see, our job is not to judge how lost someone is. Our job is to rejoice when they are found. Our job is to go into this rescue mission and never ask, oh, you know, this person, they're just too far gone. They don't deserve it. They're just in their own, I've already had conversations with them, but we've had multiple times over, and they're so stubborn, I don't even want to talk to them. See, nobody, we don't deserve this love and this forgiveness, but we have received it. And a rescue mission never asks if someone deserves to be rescued. They just rescue. And we are in the business, as a church, we're in the business of rescuing souls. And that's what the church is all about. It's about rescuing souls. It's about being outwardly focused. It's about us, every one of us here, doing our part. Because Jesus' heart and God's heart is for the lost. His heart is to bring them home. His heart is for them to feel the love that they have never felt in their life. His goal is for them to feel this forgiveness of their shame and the things that they've done in the past. He wants them to feel the value and to feel the love of the Father. Before we go to our prayer and communion, and we have a little bit of a practical thing we're going to do at the end, I'm going to just invite Jonathan to come forward. He's our outreach director, and he helps with outreach. He's going to share a few things before we close.
God's heart for the one, that parable of the lost sheep. When you stop to think about that, the shepherd leaving the 99 to seek out that one, it makes no logical sense. Unless you are that one, then it means absolutely everything. That is God's heart. He goes after that missing one, using us as followers of Christ to do so. It's part of our identity in Christ. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 21, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting us their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin for us, so that he, in himself, we might be reconciled, might become righteousness of God. So what does it mean to be an ambassador? An ambassador for Christ means representing and advocating Christ's teachings, message, and character in the world. It's about living in a way that reflects God's love, grace, and reconciliation through Christ, and actively sharing the message with others. This role emphasized both a mission to spread the gospel and a manner of living that demonstrates the power of Christ's transformation. From those verses in Corinthians, there are two key points I want us to understand. Verse 17, the person. You have been made new. He has forgiven all your sins. Verse 20, the mission. He has given you a new identity, and it is as his ambassador. You cannot separate these two. You cannot be made new and an ambassador of Jesus, and you cannot be an ambassador of Jesus and not be made new. Simply put, it's part of our new DNA. God's heart is for the one, and he uses us to reach the world. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, but I don't even know where to start or how. Let's start by talking about three unique spheres of influence that we as followers of Christ belong to, with each next one being larger than the previous. Another way I heard these same spheres of influence expressed is my house, our house, his house. In biblical times, they used the Greek word oikos. For clarity, it has nothing to do with Greek-style yogurt. The word oikos primarily refers to a physical structure or a dwelling place, such as a house. It can also denote the people who reside within that structure, thus extending its meaning to household or family. In looking at this word from a cultural and historical background, I prefer to use the word estate, and I'll explain why. In Greek and Jewish cultures, oikos was a center unit of society. It encompassed not only the immediate family, but also extended family members, servants, and even those close friends. The oikos was a place of shelter, economic activity, and social interaction. What is your oikos? What is your personal sphere of influence? At the bottom of the fill-in sheet, you'll see this image. This is called an oikos map. You begin by writing your name in that center bubble. Your bubble has multiple smaller bubbles attached to it. These represent your unsaved individual friends in your sphere. Those you interact with regularly, those that you have gained trust or have some sort of ongoing connection with. Now write those names in these bubbles and don't be afraid to add more bubbles if needed. Here's an example of what maybe yours looks like. Each one of these people in our personal sphere will have more bubbles sprouting out from them, and this will continue to branch on further and further. But I've kept it simple just to convey the illustration. We need to pray regularly for these unsaved individuals that they come to Christ. And in doing so, they become a person of, peace in their spheres. What is a person of peace? In the New Testament, the person of peace is a person who opens the way for the gospel to enter into one social circle or even their village. Jesus taught his disciples to search for a worthy person or a person of peace on entering a village. Throughout the book of Acts, we see this played out as the apostles of Jesus finding a person of peace who helps them share the gospel. Right now, I want you to think of that one unsaved person in your personal sphere. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a family member, coworker, a neighbor. Whoever it is that God is highlighting to you right now, keep this in mind, you'll need it later. God's heart for the one. Reach one, it starts with one. Let's look at the next larger sphere of influence. Our house right here as a body of believers. the KWCF sphere of influence that we collectively make up to both our visitors and into our local community with things like Walk of Lights, Super Bowl parties, life groups, other social events, including the new midweek hangout coming later this month. Next time, whether you're volunteering or just attending these sorts of events, consider the plus one mindset of simply asking that unsaved friend, family member to come along with you as well. These are some of the easiest ways to make an impact, to be used as God's heart for the one. There are also impacts from our church that are happening off-site. Ray of Hope, it's soft interactions with our local community by simply preparing a meal and serving those less fortunate. There's also an outreach group. It's called Love on Waterloo Region. This is a collaborative group effort that I'm a part of, the leadership team that gives oversight on Thursday nights. Several from our church are already involved in this. In the next few weeks, a KWCF outreach life group will be launched, joining in on these nights to provide a safe and comfortable way to experience outreach and street evangelism. There's no pressure to engage, but most do after a few weeks. His House. This is the largest sphere of influence we have. It's all of us believers, the body of Christ, one church. It's the national and global impact we make when we come together in times of crisis, supporting missionary work, having Bibles translated and distributed, and sharing the gospel. So this morning I'm excited about a new Canadian initiative called the 100K Harvest. It's about mobilizing Canadians to reach Canadians. It's a Canada-wide campaign to unite believers in intentional, face-to-face gospel sharing this summer. There are several small evangelism ministries throughout Canada. And in 2024, after years of training and equipping churches across this nation, they wondered what would happen if we brought them all together for one evangelistic campaign. They had a God-sized vision to reach 100,000 or more individuals with mouth-to-ear gospel interactions, as in sharing the need for repentance, baptism, and faith in Jesus to thousands of people who have never heard or responded to Jesus before. They envision citywide evangelistic outreaches happening in most major cities across this nation, led by passionate leaders. So earlier this year, 25 city leaders from various churches and denominations came together for a three-day retreat for vision casting, planning, training, and praying in preparation. And if you haven't guessed it yet, Waterloo Region is one of these 25 cities. This is not about us trying to put our label or church brand on others. It's setting our egos aside, our differences, and seeing our evangelical churches come together for one goal: reaching the lost, seeing lives changed that otherwise will still remain in brokenness and separated from God. So how do you get involved? There's actually two parts. There's praying and sharing. The Bible has many accounts of the value of prayer before any action is taken. Prayer is like that small igniter in an explosive, and without it, the explosive has no power. So before this 100K Harvest campaign even launched, a prayer network Canada-wide was established and has been praying over this mission. And I'm excited to say that Beth Schilling has also been a part of this prayer network. When you came in, you found a card on your seat with a QR code. It looks like this. If you scan the QR code, it takes you to 100kharvest.ca. It's a web-based app. It's not really about the app, but it's about how we can track our gospel shares and do follow-up. And I think it's quite brilliant. So when you hit the landing page, You'll see, this was screenshot earlier this week. When I looked this morning, I think we're about 6,700 gospel shares that have happened, and this was only launched a week ago. And I've done my one already. If you click on the gospel share button, it'll open up to another screen that allows you to put the person's name. If it happens to be salvation, check off the box. Maybe you were praying for healing. Maybe it was just a prayer for somebody or follow-up. The idea is that you've shared the gospel message about repentance and coming to Christ. You can fill in a testimony or something special about that encounter. You can make some notes, things like an email or a phone number for follow-up and discipleship. And as also a note where it happened. Some of us may only share the gospel one time this year. I know others that have already shared it 200 times. It just makes it easier for you to do follow-up and track with that person. Across the bottom, there's an event tab that you'll see. You could search by province. It'll have various things happening throughout our region and the dates and information how to get involved. May 14th, there's actually going to be an info night and training night happening here right at KWCF for this citywide. There's also upcoming events that you can get involved, things like Prayer in the Park and the Multicultural Fest. These are two events that we've already identified that we're going to blitz the downtown area. And there's going to be others that follow. And then across the bottom again, there's a resource tab. The intent was to make this so that you weren't left on your own. There's evangelism resources, the three circles, and also that Oikos map is in here as well. There's discipleship resources. There's inspirational stories and testimonies of people who've openly shared. And there's a directory of the 100K city leaders across this country, which includes myself for Waterloo Region. And if you happen to know somebody in another part of Canada, get them connected locally. Share this. And lastly, there's an activity tab. And this is for you to just kind of track your gospel shares and follow-up notes. Whether or not they made a commitment, the seed has still been planted, and you still need to pray for these individuals. If you have any questions or want more information or want to know how to get involved, connect with me after the service. The world around us is saying that we are living in a post-Christian era. But many of us, myself included, believe that we're living in a pre-revival period. And it starts with each one of us hearing God's heart for that one and being willing to step outside our comfort zone and be willing to reach one person with the gospel this year. This 100,000 doesn't happen on its own. It takes one reaching one and reaching another. Let's all reach one.
That was awesome. Well, throughout this month of May, you will hear more about things that are happening and things that we're going to be doing. Every week, it's going to be something else. But three things. Well, first thing I want to say before I have the chair come up on the stage. I just love in this scripture when you read it. I just love the joy that comes from finding that lost sheep. And it actually says right there, we just read it, it says, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 that were righteous and that needed no repentance. The way I want to put this morning is, did you know that you can bring more joy to heaven today? Or tomorrow, or this week, or this month, by just intentionally praying and reaching out to one person. Just one person. Not 10, not 100, not 100,000, just one person that you can reach out to this month. And probably the only verse in the Bible that talks about bringing more joy to heaven and having more rejoicing. Not, there's already joy in heaven. And joy is never ceased in heaven, But there can be more joy if we all take part of this mission that we're talking about here this morning and this month. So God's heart beats for the one. And my question for you this morning is, will yours? Will your heart beat for the one? Someone in your life that you know right now that comes to your mind, and I believe that's the Holy Spirit putting that person in your mind, that you know this person needs hope. This person needs love. This person needs forgiveness. This person is confused and is going through this life, and it's all about achievement. It's all about just going in circles and being broken from one thing to another. And this person needs love and forgiveness and prayer. The way I want to illustrate it this morning as I close off and we go to communion is this chair up here, physically, as an object lesson, could be a chair that you have in your home that you could physically look at maybe every day that you pass by it in the morning or evening or afternoon. And you can imagine this person that God has put on your mind, in your heart this morning, sitting in this chair and having a conversation with you. Maybe it's in a kitchen, maybe it's in a dining room, but maybe you can wake up in the morning and you can just say, God, I just want to bless this person right now. I just want you to open a door for this person right now. I want you to work in this person's life. I want you to find a way for me to reach out to this person. And maybe, just maybe, throughout this period of this month of May, there's going to be an opportunity where you'll be able to actually have that person physically sit in this chair in your house for a latte, coffee, or maybe hot tea that you make so well, or maybe a burrito, or if it's a Tuesday, maybe Taco Tuesday, or a meal that you make so well from your country. They just come over to your house and you're able to sit down together and have a meal with them and make them feel cared for and make them feel like you really, your heart really beats for them. I believe that if we take part as Christians in intentionally really identifying this person, number one, number two, praying for this person, reaching out to this person, and then walking alongside this person in the month of May, I believe that God can do incredible things in that person's life. So what we're going to do practically this morning is you all have a little paper in front of you. There's a pencil as well. And what I love to do as we go to communion, as we close off this service, I would love for you to take that paper out, and I would like you to take that pen, and I would like you to write that person's name right on that paper. And as you come to partake the communion together this morning as we close, you can walk down the aisle, you can drop that person off in those two baskets that we have on each end of each aisle, and then we're going to pray for them together at the end. Does that sound good? Father God, we thank you for this word that's real and true. We thank you for stirring our hearts this morning. And we want to have your heart, Jesus, the heart that will beat for the one that is lost, the one that is confused, the one that is broken, the one that needs healing, the one that needs hope and future. May we do our part, and may we accomplish the mission that you have put on us as your children. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And here's a challenge this week that I want to give to each and every one of you. This person that you will drop off into, you might already have a good relationship with them. You might be talking to them daily. I would like for you this week, coming up week, any day of the week, to just send him a text or give him a call. And it could be as easy as, hey, how are you doing? How's life? What's new? Just taking a genuine interest in this person's life. I text a lot of people, and text is the easiest. I don't know how many of you guys have received. Any of you guys sitting here this morning receive a text message from me ever? Anybody ever? Good. So there's a lot of you guys. So if I can text all of you guys, you can at least text one person this coming up week intentionally reaching out. So as we all stand, I'd like all of you to come down. If you're coming down to elders, you can come out as well. As you're coming down, just drop off the name in the basket.